in humble dependence upon the help of the Holy Spirit, I'll seek to direct your attention to the book of the prophet Hosea, chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. Come, and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning. And he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. The sixth chapter in the prophecy of Hosea, verses 1, 2, and 3. As we seek to look at this, and one feels so much need of very special help in looking at it, we look at the concluding verse in the fifth chapter. And what do we read there? I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. We have before us here one of those solemn times in the history of the children of Israel. This is mainly to the princes of Judah, but it sets before us that they have departed. And such is their departure that the Lord says, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. How much this word might be considered regarding the Church of God today. What a need be there is for them to return. And the Lord, in speaking, goes on, in their affliction, they will seek me early. And then the church, as it were, opens up with this word, come, come. and let us return unto the Lord. As I have considered this, and there has been some little consideration of it, not as much as we would wish, but as we have considered this, how it does apply unto each one of us, or at least it does unto this one. Oh, that we could, under the gracious influence, unction, and power of the Holy Spirit, live nearer to Him. Live farther away from those things that do take up our thoughts and our minds so often, and take up so much of our time and thought. Oh, how one's soul has at times gone out in earnest concern that one might indeed live more in the fear of the Lord. So much of our lives are spent in other fears. Fears concerning this, that, or the other. Concerning our families, our livelihood, or whatever we might bring in. So often I say our fears are regarding these things. And we lose sight. At least one has to confess this. We lose sight of what God is. We, night and morning, I hope you all do, seek to draw near unto the footstool of mercy and there commit and commend ourselves and our concerns into His hand. And yet how often, while we are doing it, there is something at work in the subconscious mind that is not trusting the God to whom we are professing to commit ourselves and our concerns. Oh, how short we come of that word in the Hebrews. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He is God. Yes, believe that He is God. What does it mean to believe that He is God? That He has control of everything. All those things that trouble us, those things that take up our thought, He has control of all things. How many times in our lives have we had to join with dear Cowper, as in some way or another God has in His infinite mercy kindly appeared for us in a way that we looked not for, perhaps. We have had to say God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Come and let us return unto the Lord. Oh, I feel this very much upon my spirit as I speak to you regarding it. Oh, that needs me for us to return. What does this returning mean? How shall we come with supplications, with confession? Oh, what a need be there is for humble, honest confession. What a need be there is too for that grace and spirit of repentance as we make our confession. Is one thing, my dear friends, to make confession, even heart and soul confession. It is another thing to repent of it. This thought comes in mind, I'd never thought about it before, but there cannot be real confession without a godly repentance. You say, where is the qualification in the Word of God? Well, I feel it is here. And Peter, when the Lord looked upon him, he went out and he wept bitterly. I believe that weeping bitterly sets before us a gracious repentance toward his dear Lord and Master. And there was indeed in that act a gracious confession, because he could not remain where his dear Lord was because of what he felt and realized. Come and let us return, for he hath torn. My dear friends, if we are brought truly into a state and condition to make real and God-honoring right confession, it will be because we have known something of this being torn. The Holy Spirit's gracious influence in bringing home to us our sad and solemn state, our sinnership, giving unto us a right understanding, a real understanding of what we are as a sinner. And this is, in a sense, for he hath torn. He brings the soul to feel and to realize the wounds that sin has made, how sin has torn. But what does the Word of God say regarding he hath torn? He will heal us. Where this godly confession is made, where this gracious repentance comes into being, oh, there will be healing. Most certainly. This is, He will heal us. There is another aspect, my dear friends, I've been speaking like this, that I have mentioned, and that is, there was evidently a God-given faith granted unto these dear ones who thus said, come and let us return. God had implanted in their souls a faith that believed that if they did return and were able to return, then they would be healed. He hath smitten. Oh, what smitings the soul feels, realizes, under the power of the Holy Spirit in his quickening. As he brings home to the soul what he is as a sinner. Oh, what smitings. These are times. And sometimes it seems that we should be smitten right out of existence. And as we are brought to feel and realize it in our own souls, we are ready to condemn ourselves and say there can be no hope whatever for us under these smitings. But what does the Word say? And he will bind us up. Bind us up. Oh, my dear friends, where the Lord thus graciously, these are acts of grace, my dear friends, a work of grace, as the Lord in his infinite mercy deals with a sinner, brings him to know and to understand in some little measure what he is as a sinner, as he causes him to feel what it is to be torn or smitten. These are works of grace. This is the grace of the Lord at work in quickening and bringing that sinner to a knowledge first of himself and then of his Lord, his Savior, his Redeemer. Most of you know that little account of dear Hector MacPhail as he called at the inn in his journeying, and when the time came, as he always insisted that they all gather together, for evening worship, and he asked if they were all there, and the mistress said no, there was a little kitchen maid, but she wasn't fit to be brought in. He said, fetch her in. The dear man spoke to her afterwards, talked to her, and he gave her a prayer to learn, to use. That was, show me myself. and he went on his way in the morning. He returned again sometime afterwards in his journeyings to and about in Scotland. He called again and said, whereabouts was this one? Oh, she was in such a state they couldn't make anything of her. But she was brought to him, and the Lord had graciously answered that prayer. He had shown that poor girl herself what she was as a sinner. And now the dear man said, you pray this prayer. Show me thyself. Lord, show me thyself. And the dear Lord did. And Mr. MacPhail never saw anything more of that girl until a good number of years afterwards. And then one day, when he was got very old, one called at his house. Well dressed, very respectable young woman, and asked if she could see him. And she told him that she was that little girl whom he had taught to pray, show me myself, and then show me thyself. And she at that time was in a very comfortable position and was one who was serving the Lord. Dear friends, what do we know? What do we know, you and I, about that work? What I mean, have we truly been shown ourselves? Have we asked the Lord to show us ourselves? Have we been that much concerned about it, to beg him to show us ourselves, and then show us himself? He hath smitten, he will bind us up. He did bind that little girl up, and she went on serving the Lord from that time. But we must pass on. After 2 days will he revive us. After 2 days, the church here is speaking again. There is, as it were, that aspiration of faith, aspiring of faith. After 2 days, what does it set before us? A gracious restoration, my dear friend. Turn to the 23rd Psalm, and what do we get there? The dear psalmist, as he speaks regarding his soul, says, he restoreth my soul. And here we have this, a gracious restoration after 2 days. Don't think, my dear friends, that that means just 2 days. It might mean 2 years. It might mean longer than that. But the point is this, it is an appointed time. In the Lord's own time, according to his own mind and will, he will revive us. He will restore us. In the third day, He will raise us up. In one sense, my dear friends, this sets forth a resurrection. And of course, that is what is set forth in a soul being called out of nature's darkness, out of the deadness of the Adam fall, and the deadness in which he is born, called out of that and brought into God's marvelous light. It is, in a sense, a resurrection. There is another sense, my dear friends, in this word which is before us, in which we haven't touched upon, and that it is a setting forth of the work and merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there can be no healing, no binding up where he hath smitten, no healing where he hath torn, without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may say, but then you're speaking of the time and the proxy before Christ came. But my dear friends, do remember this. The Lord Jesus Christ himself declared this unto those two dear ones on the road to Emmaus. He says, as he opened to them the scriptures of the things concerning himself, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, the sounds, wherever there was some scripture, and all scripture speaks of him, my dear friends, if we only had the understanding, if he only would open our understanding to understand it and know it. There is some teaching. Therefore, in this word that is before us, I say there could be no healing, no binding up, but in and through the work and merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. The soul that knows and feels and realizes this gracious work, it is a gracious work, though it's a painful work, but it is a gracious work. The soul that knows it comes under that gracious influence of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who knows what it is to be healed, to be bound up, he has come within the power and unction of that precious blood. He has come under the sprinkling of that blood. Has been brought to, he may not realize it and may be troubled in his own mind about it as to whether he has known anything at all about it. Yet, he would not have had this healing. He would not have known this binding up if he had not. Therefore, he comes within the power and unction of that precious blood. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. As I said, this is in one sense a setting forth of the resurrection. The day will come, this one is saying, when we shall be raised up and live with him. But let us not lose sight of this point, my dear friend. There is in this life that enjoyment to be known and experienced. To live and walk with him. To know what it is to have him, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a companion as we go on in life's journey. My dear friends, if we did not know and realize in some little measure a little sweet communion with him, where should we be? Where should we be? Where would our hope be? Oh, is it not that from time to time we are given to know and to realize and to experience some little communion with him? It may only be in a moment, may only be a moment, something, a momentary flash, as it were. Yet, that can be communion with him. There are times, perhaps, when you have enjoyed a considerable time in communion with him. But this is not the general experience of a child of God. I remember hearing old Mr. Frederick Kirby of Staplehurst say once how he was walking down Regent Street in London at the time he was in the printing, and the Lord so came in to his soul that he, for just a few brief moments, he was absolutely oblivious to all that was going on around him. And Regent Street at that time was absolutely packed, he said. But he's absolutely oblivious to all that was going on around his soul. His mind was captivated. It was in communion with his Lord. Have we, you and I, known anything of this? One looks back to one or two spots in life's journey when we believe we did get just a little touch of it. We're enabled to bow at his feet in humble confession. And because that's what it will bring you to, my dear friend. The goodness of the Lord will bring you here. That will bring you to repentance more than anything. Launters do but harden all the while they work alone. But a sense of blood-bought pardon soon dissolves a heart of stone. After 2 days, will he revive us? Oh, what revivings these are they not? Oh, may the Lord grant it to us, each in our own individual experience, but may he grant it to us too as a church and a people. Then, after this, it seems to say, after this, then shall we know. If we follow on to know the Lord. Mark, there is an if put in the middle of this sentence, my dear friends. And that if stands for something very, very real and very, very earnest. You see, we've got to look back in considering this, look back to the end of the last chapter and the beginning of this one. Come and let us return. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord, if we continue in that returning, if we continue in that state and condition, returned unto the Lord, and we continue to follow on. If we do this, my dear friends, there has been much said over the years about man's responsibility. I don't want to go into it or anything of that. But there is, as it were, here, that in some measure set before us. Then shall we know if we follow on to know him to be well, if we turn away from him, that is what it means, if we turn back to what we were before we came to him, if we turn back away, then we shall not know what this word says in its continuance. But if we follow on to know the Lord, then we shall know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning. I said just now that this has a direct reference, I feel, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and this again refers to him, his going forth prepared as the morning. He came forth, says the dear apostle in Galatians, he came forth, God sent his son, made of a woman, made under the law. He came forth when the fullness of time was come, not before, not before. And so, my dear friends, regard this, his going forth on behalf of his people, it will be as sure as that. As sure as that. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. He did not come before the time, nor did he stay after the time appointed, but he came. He came. Therefore, his going forth is prepared. It is set forth. It is established in God's decrees when he shall come forth, prepared as the morning. And you know how the Word of God refers to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as the morning star. Refers to him as to, again, when a soul is brought to know and experience in some way this coming unto him, unto the soul, his individual experience as a morning without clouds. Yes, a morning without clouds. His going forth is prepared as the morning. We can look at it too in another aspect, and that is, take it, look at it, my dear friends, from what is an everyday occurrence. Supposing, I'll put it this way, supposing you should wake up one morning at the usual time and find it was dark when it should have been daylight. What consternation there would be, would there not? That his going forth is as sure as the daylight dawning, as the day dawns, as day adds unto day. His going forth on the behalf of his people and behalf of his church is like this, prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. I cannot go into this, my dear friends, beyond this. I have been rather not troubled in my mind, but I've wondered why it is put like this. You see, you go back into the book of Deuteronomy, you get it down, set down there, he will give the former rain and the latter rain. But here it is, the latter and the former rain. It does not do away with the promise, my dear friend. It does not do that. No, it is still as sure. There is the former rain that comes upon the earth at the time of the seed time, when the grain is cast in. This is speaking from the eastern, the land where the Bible comes from, where the Bible was written. The eastern lands, they had these special rains, as it were, that came upon them. And there was a former rain at the time of the casting in of the seed, the preparing the ground and getting the seed in, and that former rain germinated the seed, and the seed came forth, and then you get, in the Gospels, you get that which says, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. And the full corn needed the latter rain, as the corn came into ear, began to develop, so it needed the latter rain to swell the grain, to fill the corn out. Oh, what does this set before us, my dear friends, spiritually? Oh, does it not show us and declare unto us the precious promises of God, that, and the thought of the word of the dear apostles comes to mind, I am persuaded that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. There will be a completion. The latter rain is that which completes the filling out, as it were, of the corn, bringing it to that condition of being ready, as it were, to be reaped. And Job says about coming down to the grave as a shock of corn, fully ripe, fully ripe. As the corn, through the influence of the latter rain, swells out and is ripened, so it is in the work of grace. The rain that he sends upon the soul, into the soul, to sweeten. What does the word say regarding it? At evening time it shall be light. Is this not a setting forth of this rain? As a soul at the closing days of this life is brought to know and to experience that gracious light, wondrous light upon his partner. But we must leave it. I feel to have come short in speaking on it, but oh my dear friend, oh let us remember. Come, let us return unto the Lord. Amen.